Blog Talk Radio.
When I think about
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to your place. Tonight we are in part 4 of 7 Simple Prayers That Can Change Your Life. Pastor and teacher Raymond Woodward is one of the most dynamic of men of God of our generation. We have never been disappointed with anything we have felt led to share with you, but remember that we are sharing something with you when we are coming to you as fellow people of faith that are striving for the mark but many times fall short. We never put ourselves as being on a higher plane than anybody else. It is out of love and a need to share what God is doing in our life that we bring you this show. Note, we did not say that we want to share what God has done. Jesus is alive and well, and he is still working on us on a daily basis. As you hear this Bible lesson tonight, put yourself into the lesson. Make it a personalized lesson just for you that opens up the window of heaven so that you can identify in God your blessings and can find your voice of praise. You can do this while sitting all alone because God is faithful to be with you. His promises are yea and amen. We pray that you enjoy this show so much that you download the show for free and share it with all of your friends and people that Jesus leads into your life. You are invited to check out any of our archive show also. All that is missing on our show is your voice. You are invited to share your comments to the topic or ask any questions based on the topic of the show. Just push the number 1 on your phone and I'll identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number when we place you on the air. And now let's have a listen.
Our series is 7 Simple Prayers That Can Change Your Life. And we are taking it, our text for the series, from Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. It came to pass that as Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And it's been a motto for this series, I guess, that 2,000 years ago, Jesus' disciples came to him, not saying, Lord, teach us how to pray. They weren't looking for a method. They said, teach us to pray. They were looking for motivation. We want to feel what you feel, Jesus, when you pray. We want to have the passion that you have when you pray. They had watched him pray. And so Jesus gives them what we now call the Lord's Prayer. Really, that's a little bit of a misnomer. It's really the disciples' prayer, and the Lord taught us to pray. Prayer is simply having a conversation with God. A lot of people feel like they do prayer wrong because they feel like they don't pray like something they heard at church or something they heard pastor pray, or especially they don't feel like they pray like it sounds when we're all together and we're all intense in church. Can I just take a load of guilt and pressure off of you? If you pray like we pray in our own building on Sunday night when we're intense and we're storming the gates of hell for some missionary somewhere, if you do that in your corner office at work, somebody's going to cart you away. It's okay to just talk to Jesus based on where you are at that moment. And that's wonderful. Prayer is a conversation with God. The most meaningful conversations with the most meaningful people in our lives are those kind of conversations. They're not always the same. They're informal. They're candid. They're effortless. They're endless. And sometimes they're even voiceless. And that's how prayer should feel, brothers and sisters. It's having a conversation with a God who loves us very much. Now, this series is following two things, the Lord's Prayer in the book of Matthew, the phrases there, and the I Am statements of Jesus that are found in the Gospel of John. And we've boiled them down into 7 simple prayers. In fact, one-word prayers that I really do believe can change your life. And the first phrases we looked at were these, Our Father, which art in heaven, and also Jesus' statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the very first prayer we encounter is this heartfelt cry of a child to their father who knows the way, their father who can answer, their father who can lend them assistance. Anybody remember that first prayer that we pray? Help. We cry out to our Father for help. We cry out to a God who can meet our need. He's our Father, so if it matters to us, it does matter to Him. The psalmist said, help me, O Lord my God. O save me according to thy mercy. When God reaches down, He doesn't save us because we've impressed Him. He saves us according to His mercy. So it's good to call to the Lord. And then we moved on to this phrase in the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be thy name. And Jesus' I am statement, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He'll go in and out and find pasture. The word hallow means to set apart, to distinguish, to esteem the name of the Lord. And you do that by offering Him worship. Worship is the door into God's presence. Don't ever get weary of the worship team, the song leader, the pastor, whoever, the service leader. Don't ever get weary of anybody encouraging us to worship, because worship is the door into God's presence. And the easiest, most instinctive kind of worship to God. In fact, the beginning worship to God, as we begin to enter His presence every time, is one word. Anybody remember what it is? Thanks. Saying thanks is the most instinctive prayer you'll ever pray to God, and it is the key to the door, because the Bible says that thanks is like the entrance. Thanks is like the beginning. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Hallow it. Set it apart. It's a wonderful thing to say thanks. I know there's a lot of people here, probably everybody here. You've got something great to thank God for, even from the last few days of your life. Everything may not be perfect. Everything may not be going just A-okay, but you still found something, a silver lining in the cloud, and you've got something to thank God for. And I'd like to give you an opportunity to just lift up your hand and your voice and say, thank you, God, because I do want your presence to settle down upon me as I study your word tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. Thank you, God, for your blessing. Thank you, God, for letting me be part of your family. It's always good to say thanks to God. And then last week, what a beautiful Bible study we had last week in God's presence. We talked about these phrases from the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And then Jesus said this, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus made two things very clear. Number one, He made very clear that He is the light of the world. But secondly, He made very clear that we are the light of the world, because His presence, His Spirit, fills His church. He provides the power. But the church is like the light switch that turns on the light. And we do it by praying one simple prayer in accordance with His promises. Anybody remember what that is? We pray yes to the Word of God, yes to the promises of God. You don't have to provide the power for your miracle. You don't have to provide the power for your deliverance. He already has all power. All you need to do is agree in prayer with the promises He's already made and say yes. Paul wrote these words. He said, for all of the promises of God in Jesus are yes, and in Him are amen unto the glory of God by us. So everything that the Word of God says, there are hundreds and hundreds of promises. In fact, you've got enough promises in the Word of God to go one a day for about 20 years. But all of those promises are yes in Jesus. They are amen in Jesus. You don't have to provide the power for your need to be met. He already has that power. What you need to do is agree with him in prayer that the work is going to be done. I thank God I saw him, Brian, right back there last Wednesday night in that wonderful Bible study at the end. He came up here, mask and all, around the altar. Nobody was touching him. Nobody was all over, because we're trying to keep all the rules. But you know what? COVID doesn't shut down Jesus. COVID doesn't shut down the Holy Ghost. And he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost because, see, the promises of God, he said, you shall receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You shall receive the Spirit. You shall. And so all you have to do is agree and say yes. And it's as good as done in Jesus' name. And so tonight we're going to move on. I just want to introduce tonight's lesson this way. In today's world, everywhere we look, we are constantly bombarded by advertising. Anybody notice that? Anybody have a Facebook account? You know we're bombarded by advertising. And all the advertising kind of has the same message. Buy this, watch this, subscribe now, subscribe to my channel. 50 years ago, the average person encountered between 500 and 1,600 ads a day. And that 50 years back, marketing firms were constantly working on new ways to target consumers. They tried to place their product in pictures and in text ads, on billboards, in newspapers, radio, television. And then 30 years ago, the World Wide Web was invented. And over the next 5 years, advertising began to move online. Search engines like Yahoo and Google and e-commerce websites like Amazon and eBay, they came on stream. And email, blessed email, became a new marketing tool. 15 years ago, smartphones became common. Social media hit its stride with sites like Facebook and Twitter, and the world literally moved lock, stock, and barrel online. Today, the average person encounters between 6,000 and 10,000 ads every single day. You don't even think about it because they're everywhere. 90% of Canadians under 65 now shop online, not exclusively, but in a major way. They spend an average of $2,600 a year, or $50 a week on average, online. Spam used to be, quote, a canned meat product made mainly from ham. But today, spam can either be a noun or a verb, and whichever one it is, they both refer to, quote, unsolicited, irrelevant, or inappropriate messages sent to a large number of recipients on the internet. And almost every ad and every email say the same thing in different words. You need this. You need more. What you have, who you are, isn't enough. But just about the time you feel totally overwhelmed by all the incessant noise and all the demanding voices, into the chaos of our 24/7, always on, seldom happy, ever grasping, rarely content, never fulfilled, pseudo-plastic world, come the ancient, soothing words of our Lord and our Master Jesus, who said, give us this day our daily bread. And he also said, in the Gospel of John, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Amazing and calming and soothing. From Bible times until today, bread has always been considered a staple food. Such a basic dietary item that over the years, bread became synonymous for food in general. A person can survive a long time on only bread and water. The Jews ate unleavened bread during the Passover every year, and their nation was sustained in the wilderness for 40 years when God gave them, literally, the Bible says in Exodus 16, he rained down bread from heaven. That was manna. They ate it for 40 years, and it sustained them. Breaking bread together, that phrase came to indicate sharing a meal with other people. Bread, Jesus' analogy here, bread is essential for life, just as Jesus is essential for your spiritual life. Now, ironically, Jesus made that I am statement, I am the bread of life. He made that statement the day after he had multiplied a small boy's lunch of bread and fish and fed 5,000 people. It was a major miracle. But the next day, those same people that were there and saw the miracle and ate their lunch, those same people are still looking for more the very next day. They want answers to their questions. They want another free lunch, and they want to see even more miraculous signs. And that's when Jesus ends the discussion by simply telling them all, wait a minute, I am the bread of life. I am everything you need. You don't need all of your questions answered. That's not what you need. You don't need somebody to give you a handout. That's not what you need. You don't even need to see more miraculous signs. That's not what you need. I am the bread of life. I am everything you need. I am more than enough for you. Something very similar happens in the Lord's Prayer when Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. When he says that, when he's talking to the disciples about how he prays and how he has a conversation with God, our Heavenly Father, he said, I talk like this, give us this day our daily bread. He's alluding back to that miraculous provision of manna during the 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Daily bread, that immediately comes to the mind of every person who's an Israelite, because God sustained them in the wilderness on a daily basis. He even instructed the Israelites, if you gather more than you need, the manna is going to spoil. You only take what you need for today. There was only one exception, and that was for the Sabbath. On the day before the Sabbath, they could gather double so they could honor God's commandment and not work on that day. But otherwise, the principle was the same all week long. Every week of the year for 40 years, you gather just enough for each day. It is your daily bread. When Moses is kind of rehearsing their history and they're about ready to go into the promised land, this is Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy means the second law. Moses is going back over their history. They messed it up once. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, but now they're right about ready to enter the promised land. And here's how Moses summarizes the manna. Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. He says, then God humbled you. He suffered you to hunger, and he fed you with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Now there's a lot in that verse. My goodness. Moses said, God humbled you. He made it so that you had to depend on him. He suffered you to hunger, but he fed you with manna. What in the world? What Moses is saying is you didn't always get everything you wanted. The menu was the same for 40 years, but you got enough to sustain you. You didn't get everything you wanted, but God gave you everything you needed. He suffered you to hunger, but he fed you with manna, which you knewest not. And you got to love that, because manna literally means in Hebrew, what is it? And some of you husbands, you know that your wife serves that once in a while. Couldn't resist. I'm sorry. Old joke. And here's what God was teaching the Israelites every day of the year for 40 years. He was teaching them, man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. You don't need what you think you need. What you need every day is a word from God to sustain you. That's what you really need every day. You see, even in the Old Testament, God is teaching his people, you need me more than you need stuff. You need me more than you need all your wants met. If they weren't obeying his commandments, no amount of possessions would satisfy the hunger of their hearts. Without him, they would always feel empty. Without him, they would always want more. But with him, they would always have enough. No matter how much or how little they possessed, if they had him, they would always have enough. Fast forward about 1,500 years, and the Lord Jesus, God manifest in the flesh, God robed in a body, he is being tempted by Satan himself in the wilderness. And when the devil comes to Jesus and tempts him to eat, it's not wrong to eat. Hunger is a natural appetite given by God. But Jesus had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And the devil wanted him to break his fast in a way that pleased the devil and pleased the flesh, not in a way that glorified God. And Jesus reaches back 1,500 years, and he grabs that statement of Moses to Israel, looking over the promised land in the book of Deuteronomy. And Jesus answered and says to the devil, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I don't know about you. I don't know what you think you need. I don't know what you have as your heart's desire today. But I can tell you this. What you need more than what you think you need is a word from God that can sustain you and guide you and bless you. That's what you need more than anything else. The Word of God is so powerful. The Word of God is so beautiful. The Word of God will sustain you when nothing else is around you. The Word of God can heal you when the doctors shake their head and they look forlorn. The Word of God can encourage you when everybody else is a voice of negativity toward you. The Word of God can pick you up and mend your broken heart when you have embarrassed yourself and made horrible mistakes and fallen flat on your face. But the Word of God, God sends his Word to heal us. God sends his Word to deliver us. God sends his Word to bless us. There is nothing like a Word from God. It is perhaps the most misunderstood and misapplied phrase in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. When you pray, give us this day our daily bread, you are not saying, give me what I want. And maybe you've used it that way. Maybe you go to God with a list. It's like demands. You know, one little boy I read, little Catholic boy, he found a little statue of the Virgin Mary and he hid it under his bed and he went to say his prayers that night. He said, God, I have your mother. His theology was a little screwed up, but give us this day our daily bread is not a list of demands. It is not saying, give me what I want. But what it's really saying is, Lord, you know me and you know my life. Give me what I really need. Give us this day our daily bread. It may just be manna. It may be just enough to get me sustained through this day. But if you say it's enough, it's enough. Give me what I need. When you pray, give us this day our daily bread, it is not saying, I want everything on my list. No, here's what it's saying. Jesus, you are at the top of my list. I need you most. Now help me figure out what else I need. That's give us this day our daily bread. give us this day our daily bread is not a demand for more. We see that everywhere. It's in every advertisement on every kind of media. More, more, more. You need more. You're not enough. You deserve more. You deserve new. You deserve better. It's everywhere. But when you pray, give us this day our daily bread, it's not a demand for more. No, it's a declaration. It's actually a declaration of something that is so counterintuitive and counterculture that if you ever learn to pray it, it will change your life. It's just one word. Give us this day our daily bread is not a demand for more. It is this declaration. God, you are enough. That's what it is. All I need is what you say I need. All I need is what you provide for me. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus, you're at the top of my list. Now, would you help me figure out the rest of my list? Because if I pray it according to my flesh, I'll get it upside down, inside out, and backwards. I'll demand something that would hurt me. I'll demand something that would mess me up down the road. I'll demand something that might even take me away from my relationship with God. So God, I'm not praying that. I'm praying you're at the top of my list and you are enough. Now let's talk about the rest. Give us this day our daily bread. Give me enough to sustain me today. I'm not making a demand. I'm making a declaration. My God is enough for me. My Jesus has been so good to me that if I have to go a day or two with only him, that's still enough. If I have to go a day or two without comfort, he's still enough. If I have to go a week or two and I'm sick in my body, he's still enough. If I have to walk through a month or two of a perplexing situation, he's still enough. Give us this day our daily bread. You're at the top of my list, Jesus. Enough is a prayer that can change your life. Enough is a prayer that can refocus every day. And here's the problem. Nothing, absolutely nothing in our culture will ever teach you to say or pray enough. Canadian consumer debt stands today at over $2.2 trillion. That is not our national debt. No, that's what people like you and me owe to banks and credit cards and the government. Household debt in Canada is at 179% of disposable income, meaning that the average Canadian owes $1.79 for every dollar they earn. But for some people, see, that's average. Some people, it's far worse than that. 10% of Canadian households owe more than 350% of their gross income. They owe $3.50 for every dollar they own. Do you know why? Because nobody in our country has ever learned the secret of saying and praying enough. We are one of the few countries in the world where the majority of the population will throw out or put in a drawer somewhere a perfectly good phone because Apple told you there's a new phone. And so your old phone suddenly is no good anymore. Did you feel that? Don't touch my technology. We live in one of the few countries in the world where we build houses for our cars. We're blessed. We've got everything we could ever dream of. We live in wealth that would be inconceivable to the kings and the sovereigns of ancient nations. And we just turn it on. We just flick the switch. We just walk in. It's amazing the privileges and the blessings we have. Nothing in our culture will ever tell us enough. It's always got to be something bigger, something newer, something greater. It's always got to be. We've never learned the secret of contentment. In modern culture, we've never learned the secret of enough. The amount, you see, between what I have and what I want, that's called discontentment. And if you live long enough, you will meet a lot of very discontented people. They spend their whole life in that awful place. And no, it's not just about money and stuff. Sometimes it's about somebody else. They think their family has more perks or privileges. they think their kids are more educated, or they think their family's healthier, or there are all kinds of reasons to be jealous and envious and to live in that awful place called discontent, which is measured in the distance between what I have and what I want. And so we do everything that our culture says to do. Work harder, work longer, get more, buy more. And we go through life sometimes thinking that happiness can be purchased or earned. Or even worse, we think if someone else's happiness could just be diminished, then our happiness would somehow be increased. What a horrible, evil, wicked, sinful way to live. But people do it every day. Let me tell you something. Let me give you the secret of a lifetime. Enough is never enough if you measure with the wrong measuring tape. If you're measuring the size of your house or the age of your car, if you're measuring the amount in your bank account, if you're measuring how much popularity you have or how many Facebook friends you have or any one of 1,000 trivial pursuits, you've got the wrong measuring tape. But the Lord's Prayer teaches us to pray a very simple word. Jesus, I've got you. It's enough. This will be the most counterintuitive lesson in this 7-part series, because we know we should pray yes to the Word of God, and we're used to saying help to God, and we know enough to say thanks to God. But this one, it has the power to change your life too. If you ever learn to just pray, enough, God. The desire for more, brothers and sisters, is behind every addiction on this planet. It doesn't matter whether you're addicted to a substance or to possessions or to money or popularity. It doesn't matter whether you're addicted to career or business or education or fame or pleasure or relationships. It doesn't matter. The desire for more is behind every addiction. And addictions will kill you. You can never get enough of what your soul didn't really want in the first place. Oh, your body may have desired it. Your mind may have desired it. But that eternal part of you, your spirit, it didn't really desire that. You can never get enough of something that will never fill the emptiness of your heart. It doesn't matter how much you get. You will still feel empty. Solomon, in the book of Proverbs, recorded the prayer of a wise man who we just know his name is Agur. And Agur prays a very wise prayer in the book of Proverbs. And Solomon, who was a very wise man, wrote it down for us. Here's Agur's prayer. Two things I have required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Here's Agur's prayer. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full, rich, and deny thee and say, who's the Lord? I don't need God. I'm rich. I've got lots of stuff. Or lest I be poor, and I'm so poor that I steal, and I break God's law and his commandments, and I take the name of my God in vain. Now let me untangle that ancient prayer a little bit for you. Agur's prayer is this. God, please meet my material needs, but only as much as I can handle without it harming my ability to put you first. My goodness, if we could ever learn to pray that, we would bless ourselves in 1,000 directions. God, I am asking you. You told me I could. Give us this day our daily bread. I'm praying that you'll meet my material needs, but with one major condition. Don't give me too many riches, and don't give me too much poverty. I don't want to do something that would disgrace your name and break your commandments because I'm so poor I have to steal to get food. But God, on the other hand, I don't want to be so wealthy that I think, I don't need God. I don't need his church. I don't need to serve God. I'm very self-sufficient. I've come this far all by my little self. So Agur prays a very wise prayer. God, meet my needs, but keep me right in the middle. Don't let me go to one extreme or the other. Ultimately, I don't need money and stuff. I need you. Now, if an old guy from the Old Testament, who's basically anonymous except for his little name, if that man could pray such a wise prayer, surely in the New Testament, those of us that are filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, we could learn to pray that same wise prayer. God, meet my needs, but just give me enough. I don't want too much because I might get lazy. I don't want too much because I might get self-sufficient. I don't want too much because it could lead me away from you. So God, I'm praying you'll give me this day my daily bread. Give me enough. And Jesus, I'll be happy with enough. There's a cultural resistance against that. It feels like sandpaper when you preach it or teach it, because there is nothing in our culture that would tell you that you have enough. And yet you do. You have more than enough. You live in the top tier of the top percentile of everyone on this planet. You are abundantly blessed. And with all of our challenges and difficulties and consternation about coronavirus in Canada right now, we still live in what just named this week the most wonderful country in the world. I don't think they used the word wonderful, but whatever they used. We are the most blessed nation. We are amazingly prosperous. And we are amazingly favored by God. And every once in a while, it would do your soul good to divest yourself of all the cares of this life and all of the things that call for your attention and just pray one simple prayer that could change your life. Jesus, I have enough today. Because you know what that frees you up to do? God, I have enough today, so now I have some extra to pray for somebody else's need. Instead of everybody always needing to pray for me and my need. Now I have enough that I can give to bless somebody. I don't need a bunch more for me today. I have extra. I can give. I can bless somebody else. I don't need any more. I can take some time today and I can do some work for your kingdom. I can do something that would help somebody else because I have enough. Praying enough will change your life. If you let it. Because praying enough comes from a deep well of gratitude that it turns everything upside down. It's amazing. In the Lord's Prayer, we don't even get to give us this day our daily bread until we've already prayed, hallowed be thy name. We don't pray for all we need until we stop to realize that God is all we need. We don't pray for our list of wants and our list of desires until we stop to think, wait a minute, I've got Jesus. I've got enough. I'm almost finished. 1 Timothy, Paul writes these words. But godliness with contentment is great gain. As a pastor for, I can say this now, for many years now, many's relative, but it's been many, especially for you dear folks, godliness with contentment is great gain. As a pastor over the years, I've met many godly people who are miserable. And if you trace it back long enough, deep enough, and far enough, you'll find out what's missing. With contentment. They're godly. They're keeping all the commandments. They're coming to church. They're faithful. They give. But they're not content. There's always something just beyond the horizon of their life. You know, you've got single people that want to be married. You've got married people that wish they were single. You've got everything in between. Not content. It's like they believe everything in the Bible except the parts that tell them they have enough. They're God's people. It's okay. You have enough bandwidth to have compassion on somebody else besides yourself because you have enough. You have enough bandwidth to go to prayer over and over for somebody whose need being met will not change your life one iota, but you've got enough in your life so you have enough bandwidth to pray for them. Enough will change your life. It's an amazing prayer to pray. And so Paul said, yeah, it's good to have godliness, but it's godliness with contentment that is great gain. Oh my. And the writer of Proverbs, last scripture, the writer says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. I don't care how much money you do or don't have in your bank account. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. There are all kinds of stories and anecdotes about people that got a huge windfall of money, and they ended up broken, a disaster, maybe even committing suicide, because sorrow was added with what they thought was a blessing. There are all kinds of stories. I could regale you for an hour about people that set off on a career, set off to build a business, set off to do something great with their life, and they lost out with God in such a major way that they became a shadow of their former self. And what they thought was such a blessing ended up being a huge curse, because some blessings of this world, they add sorrow. But the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. I'm preaching not because of you, dear folks, because of our culture. I'm preaching a little uphill. I'm kind of rolling something up a piece of sandpaper tonight, because it just grates on us to think that we don't deserve more, that we shouldn't have more, that somehow tomorrow we're going to get something bigger or better. Some of you, I've ruined your night because you already have been looking on the internet today about something you want to buy online in the morning. And I just messed up your day, and I'm glad about it in Jesus' name. It's not because I don't want you to have it. It's not because I think you're sinful for buying it. It's because Jesus wants something better for you. It's not the possessions. It's that desire for things of this world that can overtake our desire for the things of God. And so if you buy something new, I'm glad for you. But I hope you're buying it out of a place of contentment and not out of a place of, if I get this, I'll feel better about my life. If we get the bigger house or the newer car, if we get this or that, then somehow we've arrived. You know this. You're smart people. You never arrive doing it that way. It's always one more thing over the horizon that you need to make you feel better about you and yours and your life. But when you learn the secret, Jesus, all I need today, I just need what you want for me today. Give us this day our daily bread is not a list of demands. It is a declaration. I've got enough. I've got you. Now, Jesus, let's see how we can do this day to be a blessing all around me, because you've already blessed me. I've got enough. Now, you go right ahead and you pray for your needs, pray for your family. You know, pastor's not telling you not to do that, because the Bible gives us all kinds of examples of that. You pray for those you love. You pray for backslidden kids. You pray for health in your body. You pray for whatever it is. But remember, before you begin that, there's one person you need to put at the top of your list for that day. Jesus, today, whatever I have to walk through, whatever I have to go through, here's what I say at the beginning. You are enough. You are at the top of my list. You are the bread of life. You are everything that sustains me. You are everything that keeps me going. If everything gets kicked out from under me, if I've got you, I've got enough to get through this day and into tomorrow. You are my daily bread. See, he's the bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Make any application you want. Your daily bread can be the things you want, the things that you need, your bills to be paid. But really, the overarching application, brothers and sisters, he said it, I am the bread of life. So when you pray, give us this day our daily bread, you're actually praying an ancient prayer that's 3,500 years old. It's back when God supplied Israel with manna every day. He didn't give them enough for 5 weeks in advance. He didn't give them enough to save up a year's supply. He gave them what they needed for that day. If I've got Jesus today, I'm going to get through today just fine. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. He addeth no sorrow with it. Enough is not a level that you achieve, because the world will keep telling you it's never enough. Not only do they say it's never enough, they look at you and they say you're not enough. What a cruel, deforming message. Our kids go to school and they hear it all the time. You're not enough. You're never enough. Your background, your family, your clothes, the brand names you wear, you're not enough. What a satanic, evil, wicked message that they hear. But in the church, brothers and sisters, it's countercultural and it's counterintuitive. Here the message is, Jesus is enough for me. I can love you because Jesus loved me. We are united. I don't care if you come from the opposite side of the tracks. I don't care if we're from different socioeconomic backgrounds or different racial backgrounds or different ethnic backgrounds. See, none of that matters in the family of God. The ground is level at the foot of the cross, and He is enough for all of us. And if He's enough for me and He's enough for you, then we can be enough for each other. We don't have to play these one-upmanship games and all of this junk that is in our culture. I wish you'd lift your hands and just tell Jesus in as many beautiful words as you can say to Him, God, You're enough for me. I'm so grateful You're part of my life. I get refocused sometimes and it's not good. My mind goes over here and I think I need that. And my mind goes over here and I think I'm going to die if I don't have that. And my mind goes over here and I think I need what that person has, or I need what that family has. But Jesus, I just refocus tonight and I say, You are enough for me. You are enough for me. You're enough. You're enough. Because brothers and sisters, when He becomes enough for you, that's when you get the bandwidth to be such a blessing to everybody else around you. Because you got enough. You got enough. On the authority of the Word of God, I speak to you tonight and I say, and you do have enough. You are enough to be a soldier of the cross, a prayer warrior. You are enough to war in the Spirit. You are enough to see miracles happen as you pray. You are enough. You have enough. He is enough and He is yours and He is in you. You are enough. This church, you are enough to have the greatest revival, the greatest harvest of souls this city has ever seen. You are enough because He is enough. Oh, I need somebody to get your voice in the air. It'll change your life if you ever learn that because He is your all in all, you are enough. You are enough. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. This is the heritage of the children of the Lord. He is enough, so I am enough. Oh, push in prayer just for a moment. I'm all finished. Push in prayer just for a moment. The devil has told you you're not enough. The devil has told you you can't see your prayer answered. The devil has told you you can't ever amount to anything for the kingdom of God. Send him and his message back to hell where they belong and tell the devil, I am enough because my God is enough for me. His grace is enough. His mercy is enough. His Spirit is enough. His blood is enough. Oh my goodness. My. Shonde lebe siesta. Torebaboko she sandela bo siesta. Ende rebo bo siesta de la kiata baha. I speak to someone who has been pummeled by the lies of the world and the devil himself, and you've always felt inferior, and you've always felt less than, and you've always felt underneath, and you've always felt like you don't matter, and you've always felt like you don't belong. I speak against the lies of the devil and hell. I speak against that in your life, because Jesus is enough for you, and you are enough. You are not inferior. You are a child of the King of Kings. You are not less than. Royal blood runs in your veins. You are enough, because He is enough. Would you lift up your voice and just pray in the Spirit for a moment? Something is breaking, and I think something wants to break loose among us tonight. Senderebo loto roko shesaba'a. Yes. Would you just stand with me all over this room, and at home, just don't disengage yet. Stay with us. God's working here. Lift up your hands and your voice right now, and let's pray together. If Jesus is enough, you got enough bandwidth to pray right now. Even if you don't need the prayer, you got enough to pray so somebody else can be blessed. You got enough room in your spirit to pray so that somebody else can be delivered. It's enough. He's enough. We're enough. In the name of Jesus. Sore la 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 bosiesa. Sotere de la bosiesa babakoyeta. I worship you, God. My goodness, folks, I feel a spirit of prayer in here. What do you say we turn this into Friday night prayer for about 2 or 3 minutes here at the end? I'm not trying to hold you, but I'm not going to disobey the Holy Ghost here. I rebuke the spirit of fear and infirmity. I rebuke the spirit of anxiety, inferiority. I rebuke the spirit of depression. God, you are enough for us. You are enough for us.
For a minute, but I've got a song to sing. It may not be on key, but it's from my heart, and no one else can tell what the Lord has done for me. This might take all day, so I better start right now.
And if I can out. No, I'm not a perfect man.
mouth one more time.
See, I've got a prank that I've got to get out. That I've gotta get out.
Jesus is enough. Blog Talk Mom?
Ma'am, that was exactly what I needed to hear. To hear.
Me too.
And it was just,
yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Stalin. Wow, Bill, this is so good. And doesn't it apply to all of us right now, Sister Stalin?
Amen. It really does.
Or we can have an attitude that of less than gratitude really easily, and this was very, very good and timely for every situation. I still do some counseling, and I'm amazed at how people are. They're ministering to me. They call, and you know the situations they're going through. But the answers they're getting from the Word of God and the faith that they're showing that, you know, they're going to be grateful for what they have. It strengthens the church. It strengthens everybody when we realize that's it, you know. And I've always sympathized with with the children of Israel eating manna. It's a long time to eat bread. But or angels' food or whatever. But when they grumbled about it, it didn't work out too good for them either. So, yeah, there's a lot of lessons in that, a lot of lessons. I didn't ever realize this, the way that Brother Woodward is bringing out the Lord's Prayer in this fashion. And I love it, everyone, that we, with the children, every class I ever teach, we break down the Lord's Prayer. And, well, actually, technically, it is not the Lord's Prayer, like you said. I think that's in the 19th chapter, is truly the Lord's Prayer. It's an example that is so profound. And they wasn't asking God to give them a Bible lesson or anything. They wanted to get right into what was going on between when Jesus would pray. Can you imagine? That was really a privilege to be close to him in situations. But at the same time, to be perfectly mean to myself, sometimes I've thought about that, and I thought, well, you know, if you weren't so lazy, you could get up for daylight, maybe. Not you, I'm talking about myself, when pray. And the few times that I've done that, it is remarkable. Before I ever start my day in any way, not just telling him I love him and thank him for seeing me through the night, I love that, but to actually pray. And it's very, very powerful. Just let him have first chance at our thoughts and our plans. And I have my ministry in the latter part of my life here has been amazing, how God will direct me to people. And I had a really awesome experience this week. While Bill's not here yet or something, if you want me to share it with you, I'd love to.
Oh, yes, please.
Okay, you can, I'll just sort of abbreviate it, but there's been a young woman, and she has been living on the street and a lot of different situations I won't go into. But Wednesday, I believe it was Wednesday, whatever day it was, she had been on the street for 3 days and hadn't had a bath and all that would go with that, and been sleeping on just anything she could find. But she went into the library, and they know me there at the library because of some, they've helped me with do some printouts for outreach and for the jail services. Anyway, she called me. I guess they gave her my number. And so I told her I would be there as soon as I could. And I had a couple of things I had to do. But I did go. And when I got there, she had left. They had told her she had to leave because of her odor. I mean, it was really, really offensive. And then she smokes constantly. I don't know where she gets the cigarettes, but anyway, and I'm highly allergic to cigarette smoke. So she saw my car and began to it was real sweet, how glad she was to see me. So I put her in the car, or I put her in the car. She got in the car, and we drove around some, took her to a place that has, it was just wonderful food. And they helped me it was just $10 to get her. She wanted everything. It was like a buffet. It was really cute. And she wanted all of that, so she got that. And it was friendly. Just a very good atmosphere because they also know me at this place. They helped me give out my albums and material that I give out. They let me put it at their door. And a box, and people can get it, and that's really sweet. So anyway, she was saying she was extremely tired, and I don't have how wonderful I feel when I take a shower, so I said, okay, let's go to my house. And so she could take a shower, and I had all the, I gave her a pair of shoes, and just, extra stuff, like he was talking about in this prayer. I mean, I had a place call me, and they made a special point it's a donation place, getting 3 or 4 pair of shoes because they know that's kind of all I wear, and I don't go there for myself. I go there to get, food and things like that for the people I help. But anyway, it all worked really, really good, and she was here for a couple of hours, and the cigarettes So I am really allergic to it, and I got very sick, and I was getting sicker with a minute, and I thought, Lord, I can't let her go. You know, I just can't. I called this lady that I knew years ago, and I said, do you have, she used to pastor, and she's another denomination. I said, do you by any chance have any way you could help me with this? And no time at all, she had got paid 3 days for a motel, and I was able to get food, drinks, clothes, everything. And it was all done probably in less than an hour. And it was just like God just came right along. And he knew, he's not going to ever put more on you than you can do. But, you know, we do have our part of it, like this is. It's enough. You know, he's enough, we're enough. And it was just really wonderful. And it's going to continue. I've been praying. And if she will agree to it, a place has opened up. There's an opening, just happens to be, where she can live there, and it's a sort of like rehab, and we'll follow through with prayer on that also. But just like this, you know, you start out, help me, Lord. You know, we can't do anything without Him. But when He's going to do it every time, and you know we're so thankful because, I mean, I look at that situation with that woman, and she could be beautiful. Most of the time when they do drugs, they don't have any teeth. She's beautiful, eyes and skin, but no teeth. And, I'm just grateful for everything, to be a part of it. It was just such everywhere I went, this one lady, I went to the bank and she said she was almost rebuking me in front of the other people. And I happen to know that this lady will not turn away a stray cat. She has 30 cats, I think. And so I turned and I said, well, you don't think that she's as important as a cat? And everybody bust out laughing. It turned it completely around. I thought it was hilarious. Maybe I'm mean or something. But my point is, sometimes we would pick up a little puppy or someone hesitate, but a human being. And I know there's dangers and there's things we have to be cautious with, but God will work with us. And if He had not come to this world and gone through what He went through, I would not be living for God. And last night I was feeling so bad, and the Lord laid on my heart to read Psalms 22. Well, I know that 22, 23, and 24 are all about that and the cross, 23, our shepherd, 24, our coming king and reigning with him forever. It's wonderful to read it, the three, with that in mind. But 22, and I went to sleep. I didn't. So I got this morning aware of that, and I began to read it about how he was on the cross. And so many times we want to say why. You know, it's real. Pain is real. And why? And all of a sudden, I had a type of vision. And the Lord said, look up. And when I did, it was like I was at the foot of the cross. And he was on the cross. And when I looked up at him, he was saying, why? Why have you forsaken me? Why? Crying out to God. Why? And then it was like, I'm still watching him, and he looks down in my eyes, right eye to eye, and he said, you're why? Because if he had not, in that horrible pain and suffering, I would be lost. I mean, should I adore him? Because he came off that cross, and he overcame death, hell, and the grave. But all in the purpose of a creator God that came as the Redeemer, Jesus Christ, and redeemed my soul. And then so I could still make it the rest of the way, he empowered me with his spirit, the wonderful power of the Holy Ghost. And it's for one major thing, is to know that he is enough, just like this lesson. He's enough in every situation. And I just am so grateful that he did that for me. He did that for me. I mean, and he did it for you. He did it for everyone. But I want to make it a very personal thing of how much I adore him and praise him for being my Savior and for all the wonderful, wonderful things he has done in our lives and our children, our family. And in this young woman, I believe that God's going to turn it around and make her a great witness of his redeeming deliverance power. And he can do that. So that, I hope I didn't ramble too much, but I was trying to hit the highlights of it. And thank you for the privilege of being able to share it.
Thank you.
You rambled just
thank
enough.
Thank you so much.
Oh. It rambled till he got on there. Hey.
Yeah, I was just, it's funny, I was sitting there getting kind of tickled a little bit listening to you, because this message is more than anything about our thought process, our attitude, the things that make us who we are compared to who we want to be. And, you know, I can't help it. When I saw you when you were up here at our home, the joy you had going into the Goodwill, and it wasn't so much as being able to shop because they pretty much had the same stuff every day, but it was just another chance to see somebody else that you could share what God had in your life. And there's not a lot of people that have what you have to the level that you have it. When I drove you through downtown Nashville, if we didn't have to hurry up and get back where dinner was being prepared, I think you might have had a 3-day street service right there. You're like, man, if I just had my materials and just look at all these people here, you know, I can see the spiritual need of what's here compared to the smiles on their faces and as they were busy, you know, going from club to club. And I was shocked. I had not been downtown Nashville on a weekday in an afternoon in years. But you would have thought it was Mardi Gras or weekend or something. The clubs were blasting out their music. You could hear it 3 or 4 doors down. And the way people looked on the outside made me afraid to even go and see what they looked like on the inside of those places. And then, you know, I hear this message. And before you spoke, I was sitting here thinking, I don't want no rocks crying out for me on how good my God's been for me. I don't want to take it for granted. When I get to measuring things in my life, I don't want to put it like, you know, Lord, I need this above needing him. And it's so easy to do that as part of our natural thing. I won't ever forget one of the biggest Christmases our kids ever had as far as gifts. And it was just a fluke. It was an insurance thing where the electric company had fried just about everything electrical in our house. And so we were able to come up with a lot of new things for our kids. And when they opened up, and Starla can correct me on this, but it seemed like it took an hour for them one at a time to open up each of their individual gifts. And at the end of it, they were like, what's next? And I was like, Lord, how many times have you blessed me with so many things? And I look at the blessings and put them over the blesser, that I put those things above you, that you are my all in all. You are my everything. I depend upon you, Lord, because if I die tonight, and all those things that I own and all those things that I pay bills on and all those things as to what I try to identify myself, they are past. They are gone. My only hope is that I have lived a life as pleasing to him and that I have obeyed his word. And if there was ever somebody that didn't understand the Holy Ghost hearing this message tonight, you can't live with an attitude of true appreciation for who God is without him living in your life. With the power of the Holy Ghost, you cannot do it. You can't put the needs of others above yourself. You can't love your neighbor as yourself without that power of the Holy Ghost. And it's not an automatic thing. It takes preaching and teaching, like what we heard tonight, to encourage us. Hey, shake yourself here. Just let it look, big boy. Let's get the big picture here. Is money worth more, or is God worth more? Is houses worth more, or is God worth more? Is health worth more, or is God worth more? And when you reach and look down to where the rubber meets the road, if I die tonight and I'm living a life that's pleasing to God, I'm going to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. I'm going to be able to be that joint heir. I've had the earnest of my inheritance with the Holy Ghost here, but to truly be that joint heir, to be able to be with him, and he is my reward. Heaven's not my reward. Jesus is my reward. To be able to be where he is the light of everything. He is the light. There is no need for no light switches and fuses and breakers and generators. He will be our light. And I know that in some ways that goes beyond even illumination of being able to see things. It's going to be an illumination that we're going to understand that we never understood truly before as to who he is and what it costs. Man, the cost for our salvation. God robed himself in flesh and allowed himself to be spit on and mocked for me and for you. That's why I was trying to encourage at the beginning is make it an individual thing. He's either your God or you want him to be your God. He's either your Lord or you want him to be your Lord. But there's that gap in between with the want more people where we get ourselves so wound up and selfish in the things we think we deserve when it comes to the things of God and on his promises, whether you're yea and amen. But those promises come to, there's two sides to the promises of God. It is for the things that work spiritually inside of us, as well as sometimes speaking peace to our mind, where his word will not return void. It's going to perform a work. If we just let us know it's going to do the work, it's going to bring forth that fruit. It's going to turn the ground over. It's going to help us get those roots of bitterness out of the way. All the things that have hurt us and caused us distress, when we put him up as uno numero, he is it. He is my all in all. He is my everything. Without him, I have no being. Yeah, I got a Blog Talk radio show, and I got a good job, and God has blessed me with health to be able to do this in ways that sometimes blows my mind. He's given me a fantastic, beautiful wife that's always been encouraging me. Anything that I do in ministry or anything, she's been right there by my side. Whenever sometimes my mind gets to weighing off on things in ways they shouldn't be, she's right there with her Bible. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. An encouragement, a help God has blessed me with, a mom that already so clearly has this heart that I see the example of in her life like nobody I have ever met before. And I've known some mighty powerful preachers and teachers and things, but as far as the heart to want to be, to be on her own need, to go after the needs of others, and to be in position that God used those albums in the way that he did to allow her to do this. She's 82 years old. For sure she's not going to rust. She don't sit still long enough to worry about rusting. She's constantly, her life is in reaching out to be something to others more than to herself in a way that I've never seen anyone do it before. Mother Teresa ain't got nothing on Sister Bobby Lively. I'm here to tell you, there is nobody that does what she does with the anointing that she has when she does it. And so I'm not saying this to put her up on a pedestal. I'm doing this to let us know how far short when we hear a message like this, we need to be aware. Not be satisfied with yesterday's blessing. I got one more thing I want to share, and I'm going to give it back to you guys, but it was something the Lord's been dealing with me about, and I kind of mentioned it to Mom before, and then this preacher preached on it last week. It is amazing when you look at the story of the five loaves and the two fishes. For one thing, for a young boy to go up there and surrender all his lunch, Jesus must have been doing some fantastic teaching that all of a sudden they're talking about, hey, everybody's hungry, and there's thousands of people there, and I think it was 5,000 men that were numbered. That don't count the women and children. And he comes up, and then you think, well, is he crazy? I got five loaves and two fishes. You know, was he thinking, well, other people's going to bring up things, and they'll just kind of share with everybody? You know, it makes you wonder what was going through his mind. He didn't say, well, I got five loaves and two fishes, you know, that, you know, I prepared, and I'm going to keep one fish and one loaf, and y'all can do with the rest of it what you want. He gave it all to be used for something for the kingdom. He didn't realize it was a kingdom thing that was about to take place. And the disciples were so busy as Jesus was breaking fish and breaking bread and handing it out. They got so busy in the job of what they were doing. Still, if you just, you know, had a Wonder Bread truck show up and a meat wagon that was there, and you were handing this out to 5,000 people, that's a chore. If you've ever worked in something where the church dinner or something, and you're the one of the people that serves people, my wife seems to end up in that position every time, usually. But if you're in that position where you're the one that's doing that, can you imagine doing that for 5,000 people? And they got so busy and so wrapped up in what was happening there that they lost sight of the miracle. And you say, well, Brother Bill, how do you know? Because it wasn't long after that where Jesus went on the land to pray, and they went out in the boat. He sent them on ahead, and a storm came up, and all of a sudden they are afraid, and they're scared. And it's so funny. When you read this story, right about that time, Mark says that they didn't really, and I can't remember the wording of it, putting it in Bill's terms, they didn't comprehend the miracle that they had just witnessed Jesus perform. And so without really comprehending and taking stock in what Jesus had done, now all of a sudden they're out there in a little storm in a boat, and they're afraid. And Jesus comes strolling out there across the water and is about to pass them up. And, you know, and all of a sudden they're like, hey, if that's you, you know, we need help. Help us. You know, so easily we go from blessing to blessing, and we forget the blessings from before and the blessings past. And I don't want to be guilty of doing that. I don't want to forget that time at an altar where Jesus allowed me to take my ashes and trade it for beauty. I don't want to forget that every time I've fallen down, that I still got a place of repentance that's open to me any time that I need to go there. And every time he's faithful to accept me. I don't want to forget that through that baptism and water in Jesus' name, my sins were remitted. And I don't want to forget that power of the Holy Ghost, that sometimes we forget who we are because our identity gets so skewed and everything. And we miss that point to where they say that we shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. These signs shall follow them that believe. Not that we got to be tarrying after it and seeking after it and all these things, but there's signs that's going to follow us when we keep our identity in truth that he's first. I'm second to him in all ways. He is my provider. He is my salvation. He is my hope. He is my all in all. And so I've probably messed up some people's minds with my interpretation of the scripture there in Mark. But just, Mom, I'm just so thankful. For one, that you're my mom, but the bad part of that is, I'm like, man, do I got to live up to this? Lord, I'm already so wore out, 20 years younger, I can't imagine doing what she does. But the heart that she has, it's a true heart. It's part of who she is. And that's the part that we got to seek after. Not the actions, but the heart to do those things. Because not everybody can do what she does. And God will put us in positions like there was someone that came to pay for a hotel room. There was someone that bought clothes. There was, you know, people that helped with food and things. There's always a portion of things where you can fill the gap when you have that heart. Like my mom has, or like what they were speaking about here, to where Jesus is enough. And when you say Jesus is enough, he's more than enough. He can meet and supersede everything that we need if we can just be content. Oh, Lord, help me, please. Content. Be content in God. Lord, I fall so short, even as I say it, I fall so short of just being content in who he is and what he wants to be in my life. So starting Blog Talk Mom, I've confessed, I told everybody, and I just turn it back over to you guys.
Oh, I love that. I love it. You can always tell, Sister Starla, that I'm his mother. He's so kind. And nobody else would be quite that impressed, Richie. You and Sister Starla sent me one of the most beautiful cards and a blessing. And I just kept reading it and reading it and reading it because it was just so thoughtful of you. And there's so many things we can do that are beautiful and wonderful. And I like the way that the program started when he was, all the advertisement, I mean, thousands of just constantly all around us, you know, wanting to sell something. And there's, you know, if you have a cell phone, you know, you get a lot of calls. I don't have anything to stop it. And so I usually just, when I see it, you know, I'll just hang up on it. I don't know if they're robocall. I don't know. I just don't even get into it. And if it's not a call that I know that I should receive. And today, a friend of mine is ecstatic over something she had gotten because of one of those calls. And she was telling me in detail, and another friend had already told me how wonderful it was. And so all of a sudden, my phone shows that I've got a call from that same company. So I sort of said, okay, I'll talk to you later, that who I was talking to. And I answered it. And so because of the other person telling me so much, I began to talk to the young woman. And it evolved into, God directed it. She was almost suicidal. And she was telling me about the abuse she had had in her life. Totally left the sales pitch, all of that. And I don't even remember how God put it in that way, but he did. And so she began to tell me about some horrible abuse. And so I said, well, may I share something with you? And I shared with her the fact, and it's in the book that I wrote, The Woolly Worm. And I don't ever mean to be thrown off on any part of my family, but the perversion started when I was 18 months old. And there were just a lot of things, you know, and I just hit some highlights with her. And so then she really opened up to me and was just really opening up the pain that she was in and the hatred and just all the different things. And so then we began to talk about God and how God has saved me from all those things because, you know, just witnessing about the goodness of God, that He's there, and I don't know how it went. It was just the Lord took it over, and she was so, it was just amazing, and she's going to get back in touch with me. I led her to the YouTube where she could go there, you know, and send a message or something, and I can get back in touch with her. She's in another state, and then when they put me through to the next person, it's two steps, that lady, it was just all of the sales pitch was gone. It was over. We were friends. And my whole point of saying that is they're out there. And like the vision, type of vision that God gave me, if he hadn't done all that, I wouldn't be saved. All the pain, the suffering. And so then he sent us out. Go ye into all the world. Teach, you know, share. And the testimony above all in Revelation, you know, the word of God and our testimony. What is it? It's look what God's done. I can testify. It's real. And you talk about that's a, when you're trying to sell something, a car or anything else, when you've had one and it worked for you, that impresses people. So my point in all this is that God is definitely enough. He was enough for us, and people need to hear that. We've got it. We've got the message, and they want to hear it. And then God works with us to bless them, and I'm so thankful for the people that were shining light to me in my life. And it's beautiful living for God. All of this was beautiful. Well, Bill, I love it, you know, like we always sing on the cake, and I'm not the only one that says that. But I do love the way he brags on his mother. She must be a really nice lady. And we'll, on that point, turn back to my wonderful daughter-in-law.
Oh, you are awesome. I love you so much. And, yes, he is icing on the cake. And this was so good tonight and so uplifting and encouraging. And God is so good. Well, we pray that you all were blessed by what you heard tonight, and you can go to the archives anytime and download it to any smart device for free and share it with your friends. You have a very blessed week, and we'll see you back here next week at your place. Good night.